So I want to start off just with your funniest dad story. Also, a funny moment. You all don't have to share, but you can take turns, whoever feels inspired and has a funny moment as a dad. Who wants to go first?
I have one. It wasn't actually... So this one is actually about my own dad. And it was one of those things that wasn't actually funny when it happened. But it's been 3 years, and now you
Many
can look
funny
back
moments
and be like, oh,
like
that's
that,
funny.
Yeah.
And it actually involves you.
Oh, awesome.
So my dad, Cameron, and I decided to go for a motorcycle ride. Typical summer night, you know, it was 85, 90 degrees. We left town about 6, and we wanted to go up and see the Bully Shoe Tower, the fire tower. And so we get out there, plenty of daylight left, and we got all the way up to the tower, and we thought, when you do a motorcycle trip, you always want to do a loop. You never want to have to go back the same way you came in. It's just funner to see new things all the time. So we decided we could see a bank of snow, but we thought probably going to be good because we could see the road. So we started heading down, and we were really adamant that we were going to get through the snow, and the snow kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and until the point to where we literally hit like a 4-foot just solid wall. There's no way we were going to get through it. And that was when we realized, like, we would just turn around. Sound like no big deal. But trying to ride a motorcycle with a tire that wide up the hill in the snow is, like, literally impossible. So what we had to do is take 3 guys per bike, have one guy on one side, one guy on the other side, and another guy right in the back, pushing while trying to keep the bike as acting, you know, as trying to help keep the bike running, and had to walk our bikes basically from about here to, I don't know, at least probably 8th, probably even a little bit further up a hill. And it was basically like, at first it was just like, oh, this is adventure, you know, this is cool. And then after hours and hours and hours, I think we got one of the bikes up to the top. And I was the only one that still had anything left to drink, which was one 12-ounce Mountain Dew. So what we did is we got one of the bikes all the way back up to the top, and I stabbed the thing in the snow, and I said, okay, this is going to be our victory celebration. And we went down and got the other ones. Long story short, we got them all out of there. We all shared Mountain Dew, and we got back at 2 in the morning. And that was on a Saturday night, and we all showed up on Sunday morning a few hours later and never said a word about it. You know, we didn't want anyone to know. So that was not very funny at the time, but now that I look back on it, I'm like, that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, and I had to preach. Anybody else have a funny story? They want a funny experience with their dad or with your kids?
Well, this isn't very exciting like the one we just heard, but when I was about 5 years old, I was living in Nebraska still, and my dad came home from work, and the neighbor lady came over as he drove in, and she said, I want you to spank Bobby, I mean Billy. I had a brother named Bobby. Spank Billy. Because he's been cutting across my lawn on his bicycle, tricycle. And so so anyhow, my dad kind of sternly said, come on, Billy, I'm going to see you in the house. And my mom had a little breadboard that was shaped like a pig. And then he had paddle, and he took me upstairs, and he said, you know, this is very serious, and you just cannot run across Mrs. Green's lawn. She does not like it, and so I have to spank you. And so he said, but first I want to put this little breadboard in your pants and you can yell. So he might have even opened the window. I don't know. So he smacked my butt a couple, three or four times, and I made a lot of noise. And he fulfilled his responsibility, I guess.
That's good. I remember, I'll share a story. I don't think I've shared this here, but Shannon was subbing at a school in McKinleyville when we lived over on the coast. And one day I took the kids. Ella, I think, was about one, maybe. And Isaac was probably three. And we went into the lobby there in the school, and there's a big glass case, and there's a human heart, plastic human heart, you know, that you pull apart and see all the things, and it's pretty big, and it was in this case about Isaac's eye level, and he's looking at it. He's like 3 years old, or four maybe, but somewhere in there, and he's looking at it. He's looking at it, and trying to look around, look at it, and he goes, "Dad, what is that?" I said, that's a heart. And he looks at me, and he kind of looks back at it. He's looking around, and he's looking at it. He says, "I don't see Jesus in there." Said, "No, he's not in that one." Yeah, it was a cool moment. All right, so number two question is your proudest dad moment. You can remember it, yeah.
Okay, can you hear me? So, for those of you that don't know our story, I'm probably going to have waterworks for a while.
That's okay. There's Kleenex somewhere. Oh, under you, Shelly.
So, for about 7 years, Aaron and I had, up until about a year ago, had prayed for God to make it possible for us to move to Trinity County. I know it's a weird prayer for a young family, but we just wanted to come out here. You know, I never thought that it would happen this early. I kind of believed that it would be, you know, later, 10 years down the road or whatever. And as we prayed for this, we would come visit. Aaron's family lives downriver. We would come visit, and we would go to the Redwoods, and we would pray. And it didn't occur to me until worship that when we prayed those prayers, we never asked our kids if they wanted to come. We just wanted to go on an adventure. And over the past year since we've been here, I've watched Torin come here. He left everything. He left his life that he had, his friends, and I've watched him not complain once. I've watched him do everything that we've asked him to do, even when he's sad and he's mourning and missing his grandparents. And I've just watched him grow into a young man. We just got back from Mexico, and it's miraculous to watch Torin in this community. I'm so proud of him, and I'm just so grateful for God moving and bringing him to a place where he's accepted and he's happy and he laughs. Torin, you're an awesome kid. You're growing into a young man. I'm so proud of you.
I think for us older parents, the proudest moments that each of us can have is when we can look back and say, "Thank you, Lord, that our children have become responsible adults." That makes you pretty proud.
I got to take our kids backpacking last year, at least once, but the best trip was going to Tangle Blue Lake and just watching all them hike in there and have an awesome time with me doing what I love to do. That's probably my favorite thing.
This is about our oldest daughter, who's not the oldest of the kids, but she was popular in high school and became pretty rebellious. At least I thought so, because by my standards from growing up, And Chris Vallotton had the gas station down there on the corner of Washington and Main Street. And for some amazing reason, he knew everything that was going on among the teenage set. And he would always let me know when my daughter Lisa was going to be doing something that I didn't know. And there were quite a few. We had an upstairs sleeping porch. We lived out on East Weaver by the creek. And, you know, it'd get late, and so I would be sitting there in bed watching cars coming down East Weaver, wondering, you know, is that going to be Lisa coming home? And, anyhow, she never got in any great trouble, probably by the world standards. But I just didn't like what she was doing. And she came home one night and she said, "You had your spies out tonight, didn't you?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know who they are, you know, other than Chris." And he wasn't where she was. Anyhow, she, you know, at that particular time, she said, "I just hate you, and I cannot wait to get out of this house." And that felt really, really bad, you know, hurt. And her first year in college, we didn't have cell phones then, but she would call, and she'd say, "I'm so sorry for the way I acted. You know, please forgive me." And, you know, I would cry. And most of it was between Lisa and me. Judy got, you know, the brunt of some of it. But finally, she was home one weekend, and I said, "Lisa, why don't you go to the high school and speak at an assembly and tell the students, you know, how you were and how you feel now and what's the difference and what kind of heartache they could avoid." She says, "Dad, every year people come back and talk like that." She says, "It doesn't help at all." And God just healed our relationship. She's now 48 years old. And you know, we hear from her every day, either a telephone call or a text message, or two or three sometimes. Anyhow, the hate is gone. The love is really there. And I just am so thankful. And of course, Judy is too. Our family really got healed.
That's good. I'll share a quick proud moment. It happened. I've got a bunch of them, but it was one just a couple of weeks ago. I have two kids, for those of you who don't know, Isaac and Ella. My son's the oldest, 2 years older. And they were fighting, as kids do, and kind of being mean to each other. And so we sat down, as we do. And most of the time, I don't think my kids are listening to me. But it doesn't stop me from talking, you know. And so I just said, "You know, you guys need to work this out. You guys are just being mean, and we're just the beginning of the summer, and you guys need to figure it out." And I watched and listened to my son, who's just now about to walk through the door, maybe. I watched and listened to Isaac do me. He shared his feelings. He shared his needs. He gave good feedback. And even when it wasn't necessarily received well in the moment, he stayed calm and kind and I couldn't believe it. I was just like, he was listening. He actually heard those things that I was saying. And he communicated well, and it was a really proud moment. And it was awesome. So he already knows this. I already told him, but how proud of him I was. And it was awesome. So now if you'd share your most challenging moment or season. I know Billy just kind of shared a challenging season that led to something good, but if any of you guys could share your most challenging moment or season.
I think mine was right as our family was still really young. We just had Amelie and Olive at that time. And it was kind of one of those things, like my last one, where you didn't realize it in the moment, but when you look back on it, you're like, dang, that was rough. Carrie and I had pretty much hit rock bottom financially. We wanted to not, let it spin us into a catastrophe, so we just did what we needed to do, and that was to sell our house. And so this was about when I was 26, so maybe, 7 years ago. And we weren't very proud of it at the time, but looking back on it, it was definitely the best thing that we could have done, but it was also the hardest thing that we could have done, and that was to sell our three-bedroom, three-bath, beautiful home and sell everything else that we could possibly scrounge up. And we bought a $3,000 travel trailer that was 7 feet wide and 29 feet long, so it was about 200 square feet, and we moved our family of four into that. And it was supposed to be like, this is our stopgap. This is kind of what we're going to do to, get back on our feet. And getting back on our feet took 4 years. So we lived in that with Amelie and Olive, and they remember it, and they'll never forget it. And we'd pull out the hide of bed every single night, and we had our like little routine, and we pushed through it. And I think what it's done for our girls, especially, I see it in our older girls because they remember it, is it's made them so thankful for like everything now that we have. I mean, Amelie has like a shelf above her bed that's her space, because in the travel trailer we didn't have our own space. Our space was everyone else's space. We have a picture of us getting ready for church one morning in the bathroom of the RV, which is smack dab in the middle. We had all four of us in there at the exact same time, and it's probably, 3 feet wide and 4 feet, and we were all in there doing something. And it's just, like I said, one of those things where I look back on it, and it was really, really tough, but well worth the reward.
Anybody else have a tougher, challenging season?
Yeah, for me, it's definitely been the past year and a half, just going through cancer treatment and all that. And I really had to kind of shut down to make it through a lot of that. And my kids just did amazing. They were always loving and just excited to be around me, even when I wasn't the greatest to be around. And it's just awesome. They've totally thrived through the last year and done great. And they are so resilient, and it's just awesome to watch them grow up.
I was sitting here looking at Kevin with all of his curly hair. Didn't used to be like that. Used to be straight. I said, Kevin, do you think if I did chemotherapy, God would give me a head like that?
I just can't see that hairdo on you, Bill.
Well,
It reminds me, I wanted to mention this, and this is a great time to mention it. Fits into what Kevin just said. Because we have a lot of, we mentioned this, I think, even during Mother's Day, that we have a lot of moms that play both roles. And during that season, getting to be close to the Alvord family and watching Maggie step up and have to do both for a little while was awesome. And we got to hang out with our kids quite a bit. They got to be around our house and hang out with us. And some of you guys too stepping up. But also, I just wanted to honor those moms that are the single moms that have to play both roles. They have to make the food and ride skateboards and do both sides. And I know we've got a bunch of them in here. And so, just to honor you guys too, that we don't leave you out. That you get honored. You get 2 days a year. So, yeah. Just two. You only get two. Okay. So what would you tell yourself if you could go back and speak to yourself when your first child was turning one? What advice would you give to yourself if you could travel back to that moment?
Well, this is a message that I'm kind of in the midst of trying to learn. So Mike Bickle says that every time you criticize or say a negative thing to your kid, it takes 10 compliments to get rid of that. So the one thing I would say, and this has kind of been my mantra since I've been in California and even a couple years before, is that if it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't say it. And that's one thing that I'm not all that good at yet, but I'm practicing. And I would ask all the dads that are around me that if you hear me, like, criticize Torin or one of the kids or say something, that you would please call me on it because I need that feedback. I need that help. But I just really want to lift them up and encourage them and give them freedom and not hold them down. So
that's good.
We really haven't had me go back a ways here, but I always felt like when our oldest daughter was born that the responsibility really hits you, that you have this commitment, and it's a pretty long-term commitment in front of you. And I think if at 1 year old, if I could say something to me back then, I would say, don't look at it as a burden. That commitment is the greatest blessing you're going to have.
That's good. Anybody else? What would you say to yourself when your kids are one?
Well, I would say amen to what Nathan just said. If it won't matter in 5 years, then don't say it. And I'm still wondering about, my wife and I both had this conviction that at supper time, the whole family should be around the table. And a lot of times my work didn't permit me to get home, or I didn't get home. At a reasonable hour, so we'd be 7:30 sometimes around the table, and of course you can imagine what three little kids were like. They were ticked, and and then trying to teach manners, and you know, it seemed important because that was how we were both taught growing up, and it probably didn't matter, you know, 5 years later. So I wish that I probably wouldn't have done that, and I think that's really good. I think that one thing that I'm kind of affectionate, so I was pretty good about passing out affection. But I want to say to all you parents with young children that if affection doesn't come naturally, I think it'd be good if you forced it. So that your children not only hear that you love them, but they feel it and sense it.
Yeah, that's good. I'd say to myself that just to say yes more to your kids. And I think that there's, if it's probably, it's probably connected to a little bit, if there's any regret, I don't do regret really, but if there's probably a regret, it would be like, oh, I should have said yes then. Oh, I should have said yes then. But I was busy doing something that in 5 years wouldn't really matter that much. Or maybe it does, it doesn't really, but yeah, I would tell myself, say yes to your kids more. And I'm still working on it too. You know, I still get plenty of chances. Say yes to your kids more whenever they, not when they want stuff. I don't mean that. I mean when they say, come do this, come do that. Can we do that? Can we do that? Say yes to spending time and more often. So, which reminds me, Isaac, we still got to ride the hill. He's been asking me for like weeks at the worst possible time. All right. How's your relationship with God influenced your parenting? And please give us an explanation.
So when Aaron and I got married, Torin was 5. And so we always had kids. But I've always, in Isaiah 54, where it says that your children shall be taught of the Lord, I've always like rested in that promise and just believed. And I think back with the little boys, and we had this glider that we would rock all of them in before they went to bed. And that feeling, like I would sing to the younger boys at night, and just the feeling of fondness and love and just willing to do anything for them. Like it just has given me the Father's heart in a way that I could never get, I don't think, outside. Maybe I could have with Holy Spirit, but just has given me that knowing that God loves them that much more and he loves me. Like it's helped me to realize the Father's heart. Yes.
I think kids help you understand God. That's really the whole point of them, I think, is God puts them in our lives so that we can read the Bible, and the Bible is words, and the words can translate into thoughts and stuff. But kids take the Bible and translate it into life.
There's a guy named Dan Miller who once said that the Bible talks about your kids being naturally bent. And what it meant when it was written was that there's things that were already put inside of them that you didn't instill into them. And I think that's one thing that's really, really fun for Carrie and I to watch is those things come to life. Like, we didn't do that. We didn't put that in Amelie, or we didn't put this in Indy. But it was in there, and it was a seed that God had planted, and we just get to watch it. And so we've been kind of getting to explore that, and it's kind of like getting to see a new facet or a new side of how God speaks to you is watching something that was in your kid before they were born beginning to grow.
Well, long after my children, our children, were grown and gone. In fact, within the last 2 years, I have discovered the power of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit really has brought my faith to life in a great, in a much bigger way. And I wish that the Holy Spirit was in control of my life, or I let him be in control when my children were young, because I felt subject to anger sometimes, more often than I like to think. And the Holy Spirit is the best person to control your life, your mind, your thoughts, and your tongue. And a young woman in North Carolina asked me to father her a couple of 3 years ago, and she has given me two books that have really awakened me. I mean, I have heard, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all my life because I was raised in church and, you know, with a lot of rules and regulations, and I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. And so as I got older, I mean, and that's true with many of us, our faith grows as we mature. But I just want to say to you again with young children and you with elders with grown children, if you don't have a real acquaintance with Holy Spirit, explore that. And if you want to know how, well, talk to me. And I think that, you know, Holy Spirit is no more important than Jesus and God, but he really helps to keep you in touch, I think.
That's good, thanks. I probably along that same lines, I think that my relationship with God keeps reminding me that that my responsibility to raise my kids is more than my dreams. It's more than me planning to have good kids, but that I have to raise my kids and love them for even something bigger than me. And for me, for those of you that know me, ownership and responsibility is so heavy in my life, and so for me, that's a way that I've connected that God says, you know, that God speaks over me that I have plans for your kids. And it's not for me to fulfill the plans for these kids. It's for me to, kind of like what Stuart was saying, to find them, to find the seeds in their life that not are things that I put there, but that God put there. And then in the time they're with me, to protect it, to create a greenhouse, to create an environment that they grow. You know, not that I make them grow or that I make them do it, but that I create space that's safe, that has love, that has, you know, all the ingredients of life. So the thing that God put them in, the thing that God created them to be, gets to come alive. And, I learned that from God because I feel like that's how God treats me. He just puts me in a spot and then says, okay, are you willing to connect with the Holy Spirit and find out what you're created to be and then grow? And he does that for us. He just creates the space. If we're willing to stay there, you know, sometimes we rip the walls down and take off. But if we're willing to stay there in this place that God, and then he moves us. And anyway, it's amazing. So lastly, we'll end with this one. What's a fathering secret that you wish you would have known and that you'd share with fathers here? I know, Bill, you've already kind of shared some of those, but... that you wish you'd have known, or that you, would share, a fathering secret.
I think probably the best insight that I've been given was that your kids spell love, T-I-M-E, and I kind of. I'm learning that there's really no such thing as quality time. You don't plan quality time. You can't finance the most extravagant vacation to bond with your kids. That quality time is 5 a.m. when it's just me and Indy. It's not planned. It's just being there. Being available. Some of our most expensive trips are the most stressful, and some of the best time we've spent together didn't cost one penny. And I think if I could, you know, impart that to anyone, it's that, you know, just to be available, to allow yourself the time, and to not compare your time to another person's time, and to push yourself down and thinking that you're not doing as good of a job because you couldn't afford this or you couldn't buy that for your kid. It's some of the best things in life are absolutely free.
Being in Mexico the past week and watching the youth, all the teenagers and the young 20s, I really want to learn how to have more fun and smile more and laugh more. And I think that that's good. And I want to do that more. So I think the secret to having a fun family is to have fun. So I want to do that.
I think thinking of young families, and I've been noticing a new dad over here, right? And as an encouragement to you, what you've been doing for the last 25 minutes, that's what it is to be a dad. You are taking time with your daughter, so that's a great job. And I just want to honor those young parents out there who are taking the time to hold their kids, taking the time to give them a bottle when they need it, taking the time to just be with their kids. And I just want to, all you young parents out there, that's what Father's Day is about to me, watching you guys do that. So, good job.
I think a really important thing that I've learned is that my wife and I are a team. And kind of the secret for me to be a great father is to be a great husband. And, I mean, it just makes it so much better when you can figure that out first.
That's good.
We're living in a crazy time. Everybody is very busy. And, you know, we left South Orange County where it was crazy 43 years ago. Now it's nuts. And I kind of look at our life here, and it's so easy to get so busy, even in this little quiet village of Weaverville. And my wife has been involved in the Republican Women's Group a long time ago with some of the rest of you. It just petered out because everybody was too busy. And she's an avid member of the Trinity or Weaverville Garden Club, and it's kind of petering out because all these old ladies are too busy. But it's understandable how the young ladies are really busy because they're raising children. And some work. But it's really, I'm not sure which of you made the point time, love is spelled time, T-I-M-E. And I don't know how you do it, but we need to simplify our lives and eliminate unnecessary stuff. Probably cell phones and television, I don't know. But anyhow, make time.
That's good. Thanks, Bill. And I just say what all these guys have said, time and devotion. And there's no such thing as spending too much time with your kids. There's no such thing. And they're the greatest investment. And I know it's cliche, everybody says it, and I heard it when I first had kids over and over and over, and I hear it all the time, and it's truer every day, is that it goes by so fast. It goes by so fast. You know, my kids turned 13 and 15 this month, and I'm just like, what? I turned 1 year older on Monday, and it's like time just goes by. Like, you know, the cuddling my kids to sleep, that season's gone. It's gone in my life. It's not there. I get grandkids. I'll get grandkids. You know, and so, yeah, I enjoy every moment, which is what I meant when I said say yes to your kids. And this, I'll say this, I know it's out there and it's part of our culture, but to you and even to Nay in the back with the baby, that this is a family. And part of being a family is kids. And we decided a while back to give kids their own time, and so the parents could have their own time on Sunday mornings. But I don't want anybody ever to feel bad about their kids being in church. And we do something for Christmas, but it's still part of my heart all the time, and that is that we, I was, you know, when I was in church, when I was a little kid, I grew up in church too. My mom brought me to church, and it was kind of seen, and I, you know, kids were seen and not heard. They were, you know, we got to sit on the ground and color sometimes, but we were always there, but there was nothing, anyway, and that kids are such a huge part of what we're doing and where we're going. And it's okay to mother and father your kids in this environment that we understand. And we understand what it's like when your kids just decide to cry or not obey you. Or it was fun yesterday. We were returning vans and I watched Liam have a meltdown. And it just made me, I loved it. It was awesome. He just crumpled onto the floor and it was awesome. We were in the public, you know, on the floor in the rental car place, just people everywhere. It was awesome. And it's okay. It's okay to be a parent, and like, and the parents will understand, and because they were there, and the ones that aren't parents that might turn their nose up at you and like, oh, I'll do different when I have kids. They'll understand later, you know. They'll get it. Yeah, you're funny. That's gonna be awesome. And yeah. And so it's okay to be a dad. It's okay. There's a video. I actually looked for it. I couldn't find it. That I just love. And it starts with this guy. And it looks like he's on the front lawn in like a pretty nice neighborhood. And he's got a bathrobe on. Maybe you guys have seen this. And he's got a lightsaber. And he looks like he's probably about, I don't know, in his 30s. And he's real serious. And he's going, and he's like... And it's like, what is this guy doing? And then the video pans back. And then next to him is his, like, six-year-old kid who's really into it. Like, he's got a bathrobe on in there. You know, they're Jedis together. And it's like, don't be afraid to look silly, to connect with your kids. Don't be afraid to take care of your kids, to meet their needs and connect with them. Because it's God's heart. You know, God does that for us. So... we guys just appreciate these guys for coming up and their bravery, and you guys can exit. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I said this too when we did this with the moms, that that we can have a relationship with God all on our own. That's what Christ came for, is to give us a personal relationship with God. But we can't do church by ourselves. We can't be a body of Christ if we're not connected. And one of the honors of being connected to the body, to the family of Christ, is getting to actually learn things, mistakes, that learn from other people's mistakes. And if you're a new or relatively new parent, and you, one of the things that, I mean, if I could tell you, that we all kind of echoed it with a bunch of other things, but spend more time with your kids. If from this moment on you just, it sticks and you decide, then this day was worth it. It's like if a couple dads grab a hold of that. And even if your kids are adults and you're like, man, I need to spend more time with my kids. Then I just encourage you. It's God's heart for you. And that's what being part of this church family, that's what being part of the body of Christ is to pull strength from other people's experiences. Both the positive and negative ones that they've learned from, and that you don't have to make the same mistakes that we made, everybody. And so grab a hold of some truth, grab a hold of some wisdom, grab a hold of some of these fathers' hearts, and take it. So I'm just going to pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are constantly there, like Bill mentioned, that the Holy Spirit in our lives, you're constantly there to remind us of what we can be doing, what can we can be focusing on, and how we love our kids, and that we, that as you love us, we pour that love into them. And I just thank you for fathers. I thank you that Christ came to reveal your heart, the Heavenly Father, and that every day is Father's Day in heaven. And we just thank you that our unconditional love really comes from you and only you. But that as we receive it and we get revelations of it, we can pass that on to our kids. Lord, I just pray that you'd give all the dads just strength to do that. And all the moms that are filling in the gap for the dads, you give them strength to do it too. You give them supernatural strength to wear both shoes, so to speak. And I also pray for those kids that have one or the other, that they would not have less. That they would not have less. That they would find in their parent, and that they would find in you everything they need. Everything they need, that they would latch on, like we were talking about this morning, they would latch on to a Heavenly Father that meets all their needs. Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.